Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2012 Home Education Conference held in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
So fun to be here, and it's so exciting. There's so much energy at this conference and so much wonderful spirit at this conference. I hope that if you were at any of my other classes yesterday, that this is completely new for you. Okay? So this is going to be really fun. I'm excited about it. This is one of my favorite presentations to give because it was so inspiring to me. I call it the Cultural Parenting Revolution. So have you like ever felt like that? Look at that mom's face. She's like, okay, here we go again. There's another one. You know, those things happen to us all the time. We have a little child screaming there, and the mom just going, either she's being really calm, which could be, or she's going, I really don't know now. I'm done, right? Which very well could be. So, what do you do when that happens? I want you to think of yourself. When maybe the teenager's doing that and not the little one, depending on the age of children that you have, what do you do when all of a sudden they look or act like that? Do you do that one? Where, you see that? Look at his face. He's like, oh, you are in trouble, right? And look at her face. That's the part that breaks my little heart. She's like, you're a freaky monster. She's like so afraid, right? Do you try to instill fear? Do you show a little bit too much emotion like that gal? Do you just worry so much and cry and stress and fret? And let it just completely shut you down some days. Because it can. If you let it get to you, it can completely shut you down some days. Oh, do you do that one? Do you reach out and touch someone in a way that maybe is a little bit aggressive? Doing some hitting there? You know, it's tempting because, as I talked about yesterday, it seems like it might make it feel better if you were to hit someone. So what do you do? Now, these are pictures. I don't know if you've seen the show of the world's strictest parents, but and there's the website, teachingselfgovernment.com/videos, if you want to go and see the show, that's where it is. But those were the teens that got brought to our house, Hannah and James, and they're from England, and they were really amazing to get to know. Yes? I wish that they left all the way youth, but we only had 8 days. But just so you know, because everyone asked me this question, they came both school dropouts. She was a mom. He had a bad relationship with his mother. She did it as well at home. They both had substance abuse issues, tantrums, anger control issues. He'd been smoking since he was 8 years old. He had anorexia bulimia. Which they weren't aware of. I was the one that diagnosed that. Anyway, and he had many other issues. And when they left, she decided she wasn't going to raise her daughter the same way and that she was going to make a difference. And she started going back to church. She's Catholic. I don't think it lasted very long because she said it was really boring, which the Catholic Church, if you don't understand what's happening, like, I don't even know if it was in the right language, right? So, you know. Anyway, and then, and he went home, fixed the relationship with his mom, went back to school, stopped doing drugs, stopped doing a whole bunch of other immoral activity that he was doing, got help for his eating disorder. He quit smoking twice because, you know, the first time didn't quite work. Anyway, that's a hard one. Both of them kept drinking, but they do live in England, so, you know, it's all good. Anyway, but they, I shouldn't have said it that way, but to them, it's all good. It's not like the worst thing, right? Because everyone does that. And so to them, I mean, if you look at that in 8 days, and he's in university right now, actually, working on his major to be a fashion designer. And he found the vision to do that in our house by reading a book called The Dream Giver, which is a really great book if you haven't read it before. Anyway, great little parable is what it is. And it's quite short and can be something you could discuss with your family in detail. It's fantastic. Anyway, so they came and did The World's Strictest Parents. And it was an amazing success because we were so calm. But people started talking. You know, there's always all this talk about The World's Strictest Parents. And I try to look at some of the talk from time to time because, of course, it totally applies to me. And I want to know if anybody's talking about me and what they're saying. And not that I can completely keep up on it. But occasionally I sneak onto people's blogs and they're like, oh, I didn't know you were watching, you know. Anyway, so it's kind of fun. But I happened upon an article one day by a gentleman. He was a college professor. His name was Mark Wanstall from Leeds Metropolitan University in England. And he's a lecturer on childhood studies. And he also studied film and photography. And so he did this write-up on The World's Strictest Parents. Totally up his alley, right? That it's film, and it's also about childhood and about families. So he was very interested in it. And he said, you know, there's a pretty simple plot. You only have to see one of them to know what the plot is. The plot is that these kids come from families that have no idea what to do with them. In fact, they really are openly honest about the fact that they have no idea how to parent. And so they just sort of turn over that responsibility to the BBC or to somebody else who lives in another land, hoping that somebody can make a difference that they haven't been able to make. And then at the end, the kids are supposed to experience some sort of a change. Like, that's the whole idea. But in the middle, there's supposed to be this big struggle, and that's what everybody wants to see, is the struggle, and to see if really they will change, and if so, to what degree they changed. And that's the plot of the show. Every single one of them follow that same plot. Some change more than others. There are some that really, really change, and then some that are kind of like, that was nice, but it's good to be home again. He talks about how there are some things that the world's strictest parents know, the people that they send these kids to on the show, that they know. Is it doing funny things? Okay, is that better? Down? Okay, good. I don't know what's happening. All right. Anyway, he says that there's things that they know. And so his article was called What Can We Learn from the World's Strictest Parents? That was what the title of his article was. And this was essentially the thesis of his article. He said, effective parents get their confidence and power by knowing what their parent role is supposed to be, and how it compares with other parenting forms. So there's different kinds of structures or ways that you can parent. And some of you have already come to me and said, I've tried this, and I've tried this, and now I'm back to spanking. Because I don't know what else to do, right? And so, can you help me with this? Like, can I really do this, right? Like, so people are always saying, I've tried all these different types and styles, and there's this certain way that I want to be, right? In your mind, you know there's a certain kind of parent that I want to be. But here's the thing. Not often do we use that word right there, role. There are certain roles that we all have as parents. So instead, as a parent, we look at ourselves as managers. We are not managers. We have a specific role. And I want to talk in detail today about three different kinds of parenting forms and what the roles are in each of those different parenting forms so you can get an idea of what you have been thinking your role is like and what you might want your role to look like instead. So we're going to dissect parenting forms today. All right, that's pretty much what we're going to do. And in the handout book, I have given you a chart. Don't cheat and look at it yet, but you're lucky to get it because I'll tell you what, I don't usually give it out. Okay. I usually make people write it, but this time I thought I'd be nice. Okay, so for years and years, parenting experts have discussed this topic of what makes the best kind of parenting. There was this one guy who said, be their friends. That's the thing to do. Just be their best friends. And this was Dr. Spock, right? And he birthed the hippie generation, pretty much. Like, he changed all of those children into the hippies. And do you know what? Even when he got later in life, he actually admitted that wasn't right. That wasn't the best thing to do. I think we made a mistake with that, you know, philosophy that I was passing around, that we should just be friends. That doesn't mean we should be enemies, however. Like that lady. Do you know her? Have you heard about the Tiger Mama? This is the Tiger Mama. She's pretty recent. And she actually, I have to give her credit for one thing. She is saying, listen, we can't be worried about just being their friends. We do have to be their parents. She's saying our role does not look like friendship. Our role looks like we are in charge. They are our children and we are in charge. Now, that is better than the friendship role. Even though she's intense, she is harsh, abusive, actually, in a lot of ways. She's gotten a lot of press, though, because of her willingness to speak out about how you should call kids garbage and how you should not let them eat until they're done with their, you know, and not go to the bathroom until they get their piano piece just right and, you know, stuff like that. She's really intense, really, really intense. She has a huge following right now of people. Okay, so the first thing that we have to know, that if we're going to make, as we're discussing all these different forms, okay, this is like the disclaimer. Number one, you have to make a conscious decision about how you will parent that will give you confidence and that will anchor you. It's got to be conscious. So no emotionally driven parenting choices. Your form, your model, can't be based on how you feel at a given moment. You have to have already decided ahead of time what it looks like, okay? So that will help you in all of those hard parenting times. Second, only you actually get to decide which is best for your parent-child relationship. With God's help, of course. So I'm going to tell you all kinds of things that I've found out today. You get to choose. You'll be able to easily see which way I like best. You probably already knew. But anyway, but be sure that you're intuitive. Sometimes you get told in your heart to make a change and it seems really hard. Well, follow it. Sometimes even if it's hard, it's really worth it. Okay, so Mark Wanstall went on to say that there is what he calls an emptying out of the adult identity. So when he mentioned roles, that was specific to me because he's saying adults don't even really know who they are anymore. And the reason why, if you come to my class a little bit later where me and my husband are going to be talking about creating youth instead of creating teens, the reason why that so many adults don't know who they are anymore. Can you still hear me? I just, oh, hey. Okay. Anyway, so the reason why, this is going to really mess me up, is because they're still teenagers. They're actually not adults yet. They weren't groomed to become adults, so that's why we have a hard time. You know, it used to be, he says, it used to be that if you were in a city, you know, commons area or a park or something, and there were some children doing delinquent behavior, any adult in the area, anyone, would go over to the children and would say, that is inappropriate, you stop doing that right now and get out of this area. Would they do that now? No, they cower, right? They have fear. They have fear that someone will get mad, that all of a sudden somebody, you parented my child you weren't supposed to, someone will turn them in for something. We're all under this magnifying glass that we can't even stand up for what's right anymore. Not only that, but most of us don't even know what's right anymore because we're still teenagers and it's all about the next sensational thing that's going to happen in our lives. Well, hopefully not in this room, but a lot of people, that's where we're at. And so he says there's an emptying out of the adult identity. I thought that was very interesting. And he said that the parents in the world's strictest parents, the ones sending their children away, are so common because there's other people saying, hey, can some government agency just take over for me? Can somebody just, because this isn't my thing, this parenting thing, right? I'd rather do marketing or something. I'm good at that. I'm not good at parenting. I need someone else to do it instead. Yes? Right, so she said public school? It's sort of that same idea, isn't it? Yes, it is. Okay, he says these are the things that make a difference. Having a strong family culture, and I'm going to buzz through this part so that we can get to some of the other parts too, but strong family culture, that is so important. You know, everything that I talk about, absolutely everything, goes back to what kind of a culture that you have decided to create in your home. The difference between creating a family culture and not choosing to create a family culture is following the world and not. If you have a family culture, you've made a choice. This is the kind of people that we are. This is what we believe in, and this is the way we will interact with each other. If you are reactive in your family and you're battling a whole bunch of stuff all the time that seems like you didn't teach it to your family, then probably the world has made a big impact on your home, and so it's helped to destroy your family culture. The family culture is what gives the world's strictest parents stability. Even if those strictest parents are more like tiger mama parents, even if they have stability because they've consciously decided on a culture that they want in their family, and they live within the principles that would maintain that culture in their family. Now, all of us in this room are LDS, which means by nature, we all have a sort of LDS culture that we're trying to have exist in our family. And I can promise you that following the parameters of that LDS culture in your family, even that alone will make you more of one of the world's strictest parents, like I was. Do you know, when they asked me to be the world's strictest parents, they said, would you consider yourself a strict parent? And I said, well, not really. I mean, I don't yell at my kids or anything like that. And they said, well, would you let them get tattoos and hang out at the pub with their friends? And I said, no, absolutely not. And they said, well, would you let them smoke? And I said, no. And they said, then you're strict. That was the only criteria I had to meet. Okay, I thought, then every person I know pretty much is strict, right? It gives me hope for America, honestly. I was like, yes, though still, even if they're not my faith, they're usually smart enough not to do that. Not always, but usually it gave me hope. But we can see that the questions that they were asking directly applied to family culture, because they were saying, do you have values? Like, do you actually teach your kids that there is a right and a wrong? That's what they were asking me about family culture. Okay, next is social culture. Social culture is the society that you have around you. Now, we have an extra special blessing in our faith, and that is that we have all of these wards. And so oftentimes we have a good social culture, or people that are trying to have similar family cultures to us around us that will back us up and that are trying to parent similarly anyway to the way that we are. Now, we all know that not everybody's perfect and stuff, and that we're all a work in progress. But for the most part, values-wise at least, our social culture does usually support each other. Even if someone goes astray, they still maintain, but this is the value. And that is a strong, that is an important part of being one of the world's strictest parents, is that you also have a culture that backs you up. That's why they went looking for a Mormon family, because they knew that the culture, the social culture, creates these kinds of people who are parents with values, and that will actually take a stand and say, that's right or that's wrong. Then the last one is strong beliefs. Obviously, you have to have a belief system, a belief in something greater than yourself. Oh, I get to tell you something I've never been able to tell an audience before. This is exciting. The BBC crew said to me, they're like, we heard that you guys have these missionaries that are like 19 years old. And I said, I said, yeah, we do. And they give 2 years of their lives to like serve a greater power, to serve God. And these are atheists, okay, that are talking to me. I'm like, yes, they do. They're like, people just don't do that. You know, they're like, that is incredible. I said, yeah, they fly all over the world. And they said, can we meet some of them? I can hook you up. They read half the Book of Mormon before they came to my house, in preparation for coming to my house. And they got there and they said, listen, we now have another purpose with this show. These are atheists. I'm like, uh-oh, what's going on? And they said, well, we've read half the Book of Mormon. I said, oh. And we found out some lies. And I'm like, uh-oh, what are the lies? And they said, everybody is lying about you. I said, you're right. And they said, you're Christian. I said, I know. And they said, yeah, but everybody else doesn't know. So we're going to make sure they do know. Atheists, guys. Providence, okay? Providence. And my goal was to like become their best friends. And we did. And I'll tell you what. They made a show that changed the world. Anyway, I digress. I told you fun stuff about the show. I hope you like it. It's not on my slides. Anyway, but honestly and truly, those strong beliefs were, that was a criteria. You can't be on the World's Strictest Parents show as one of the parents they're going to take you to if you don't have these three things. Family culture, social culture, strong beliefs. Yes, over here?
I was just curious about when you said about the missionary. Could you take them to the embassy so they could see a couple of them?
Do you know, the church headquarters was like, we're not letting the BBC film crew. You know, and they're like, you can't film on church property, and you can't, because they were like still trying to get over Big Love, right? So they were like, I don't know about this. You know, it was just the media department. But after they saw it, church headquarters called me, and they were like, oh, wow, that was, wow, do you realize what you've done? And I'm like, I hope good. Okay, so anyway, oh, we already talked about all these. Family culture, social culture. I picked this picture for social culture of an attitude problem because honestly, that is the culture we are battling, okay? That is the culture of I don't need you, I know everything, a disconnected culture. That's what we're battling. And so our social culture must be connected. As much as we love this homeschool culture, we all live in places where we have our people. We have a responsibility to our people to connect with them and to strengthen our cultures where we are. Don't forget that. Don't disconnect from your culture. Don't be like that girl and everybody else is looking on going, you think you're so great. Social is important. That doesn't mean your kids have to go to public school, but you teach them by the way you interact with your social culture. Yes? Oh, it backed you up. Your social culture backed you up when you needed it. That's actually why I talk about making a family standard in my book. Even though we have the For the Strength of Youth pamphlet and everything, you make a standard that will back you up. You put all the principles of your culture, the way that your culture looks, the way that your culture talks, and you sign it as a family. And you say, this is the way we are. And it definitely correlates with the For Strength of Youth. So you've made a statement saying, no, we follow our culture. That's part of who we are. Yes, back there in the back. Okay, so she said she has a hard time canceling her Food Network because she doesn't want them to watch Disney. And so what do I think about TV? You probably won't like my answer to what I think about TV, but I'm just going to tell you how it is. TV is the world. It's a totally different social culture, especially any of the network TVs. Our family watches, we have a family movie night once a week. On Friday night, we all sit down and watch a movie as a family, and then we put the kids to bed, and me and my husband watch another one. We do a double feature, right? Like, that's our family movie night, and that's really it. Occasionally, my children have seen network TV because I'm on TV, and when we're there, we let them turn it on to watch me, and that's about it. But you know, we don't. Because there's so much on the internet. If we need something, we just go find exactly what we need instead. But even internet you have to be careful, really careful about. Yes? You're saying because he watches TV at his friend's house, should you forbid him to go to his friend's house? I think you have to weigh. Here's my deal. I'm an idealist, okay? Jeffrey R. Holland says, be an idealist. And I was like, huzzah, because I am an idealist. That doesn't mean every single day is ideal. I shoot for an ideal every single day. However, I work so hard at shooting for that ideal, at grooming leaders, people who have purpose in life, people who see through clear glasses. You know, I work at it every day. It's my opus. There is just no way I would let one social draw ruin that. Not with all that work I've put in. Maybe it even sounds a little selfish, but I just wouldn't do it. So instead, our house is the house where everyone comes. Occasionally, we have my son, who's now 16 almost. He'll be 16 next week. Occasionally, he'll go to a friend's house that I know has like a game station thing. And when he goes there, like if he's ever going to go there, that's part of the discussion. So you want to go over to Zach's? Okay. So I know that the game thing will come up because that's what he always likes to do at his house. So what you need to do is we need to have a time limit if you're going to go there. So you need to only be there for this much time, and that way you won't be on the game thing for longer than this much time. And then after that, come over here and play ball or something. So we just make it incremental so they're not sitting there for a whole afternoon, just game. That's what I do because, like I said, I feel like why would I work so hard and then just let society come in and change the culture on me? Yep.
Do you put limits on the games you can play? In my house, like, my son knows, like, my 4-year-old knows he's only allowed to play an e-game. You know, as an e for everyone, my teenager, only a teen game with him.
Yeah, we usually just do e-games, is what we do. I mean, honestly, I'm not super afraid of, you know, well, we could get into all kinds of particulars, but I'm not super afraid of violence necessarily as much as I am a lot of the sexual content in the media stuff. But for the most part, if I don't know the game, it has to be E. That's what I do. Okay, teenagers versus youth. I'm going to do a whole class on this, so I'm not going to spend a bunch of time, but I just want to tell you that the culture, that social culture grooms either teenagers or youth. Youth grow up to be adults. The teenagers grow up to be the ones who are like, hey, I'm not cut out for this parenting thing. If I would have known, you know. And some of them are like, listen, I already know I'm not cut out. I'm not having kids. There was a headline on my doorstep at the hotel that said something about the birth rate and how, like, minority births are now higher than whatever majority births or whatever, and I was like, well, that's just because there's like this indoctrination about not having children now because nobody feels adequate because they were all raised by friends and, you know, they don't know what to do, right? So it's tricky. There is an ebook that we're giving out today. If you've signed my list in another class, oh, I didn't even bring it, I'm sorry. Or you can sign it at my booth, but or someone can pass around a paper or whatever if you want to start it. But it's called I'm Not a Teenager and Here's Why, and a group of teens in my area ages 12 to 15 wrote this book, and it's a free ebook, and I'm happy to send it to you if you're on the list. People on the list are going to get a lot of fun stuff today, like free downloads or stuff. It'll probably take me a week to get them out. Their site is I'm not a teenager.com. Okay, in order to decrease our burnout, we have to have effective communication, trusted principles that we follow, confidence in our roles. So we understand, what does it really mean to be a mother? What's that ideal picture? What it means to be a father? What is it that I want? And then we live for that ideal each day. And we have to have a chosen parenting model. Okay, so there are three different forms of parenting that we're going to discuss today. The first one is called modern progressive parenting. Yeah, I'm really going. I'm like, hey, I don't know my time. I always, hold on. Let's see. Huh? There you go. I'll just hold it up for a second. Okay, is that good? Everybody's still riding. We'll leave it up there for a second. Okay. Do you know they're not? I'm sorry. I don't know. Like, that's a skill I've not learned yet, but maybe. I could talk to my 15-year-old and see if he knows how to make them available. You'll teach me how. I know how to do other things, PDFs and stuff. I don't know. Okay, here we go. Although, most all the rest of the slides are right here on this chart, okay? So you're not going to have to write them all down. Just go to the chart and add notes. So you're very lucky that I'm giving you the chart. This is like a major thing that I'm giving you. Okay, you are welcome. All right. So there are three different kinds of parenting. There's modern progressive parenting. And that is very much like friendship-type parenting. Dr. Spock's model would fall into the modern progressive parenting. Modern progressive parenting, and when I say progressive, I know everybody's going to probably think like politics or something. We're right outside of D.C. But really, the whole point with the word progressive, and this was a term that I got out of Mark Wanstall's article. I was so grateful to him for that one term. That he said, the modern progressive parent doesn't know how to parent their child. And I went, modern progressive, that's exactly it. That's what it is. The parent who wants to move on, they've moved so far on, they have no idea where to go. That's the problem. In fact, they think they know where to go because they're trying to do what seems natural. Okay? Because organic's really in. I eat organic. That's like yummy and stuff for my body. But for my relationships, that's called being reactive or neglect oftentimes. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Bullying, fear-based parenting. People feel like, okay, if modern progressive's over here on the left side to the farthest, and that's wrong, because this was my parents. My parents were like, that is wrong. That Dr. Spock thing, that does not follow principles. You can't just be, they need to have a person in charge. You can't just be a child's friend. That doesn't work. So then, naturally, what do people do? They go to the other end of the spectrum, which is bullying, fear-based parenting. That's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? We all have an image of what it looks like to be bullied or have fear in our home. In fact, some of us may have already been raised that way, and then we're like, no way. And so we go clear over here on the other side, okay? Now, the thing about traditional strict parenting, because he says, Mark Wanstall says, that's the preferred kind of parenting, he says, or you would think it's somewhere in the middle on that line. It's not in the middle at all. It's like on a whole different plane. It's not even there. Because it actually follows principles and things where the other ones do not. So, and we're going to talk in detail so you can see very clearly how that happens. But, so don't think that you need to land somewhere in the middle of modern progressive and a bully. That you need to somehow like balance yourself depending on the circumstance one way or another. No, that is still reactive parenting. You absolutely must be on a higher plane. And more importantly with the traditional strict kind of parenting is it moves inside the person. That's where it moves. Okay, organic parenting. Traditional strict parenting is organic. So as we talked about the modern progressive, people think that that's the natural way. You just do whatever your body does. That's got to be the natural way, right? Well, no, because then you have absolutely no self-government and just humanity is in charge. And I just don't agree with that. I don't believe that the Lord put us here to let our bodies rule. I do believe we are supposed to have our spirits rule and that that is the true organic way. So it's the old way. It's the historic way. It's funny to me that we've been parenting for years and years and years, and all of a sudden, after World War II, when the teenager was invented, now we have parenting experts. But before that, we never had parenting experts. Do you know why? Because the core book of the whole country was the Holy Bible, and everybody had principles. And now the core book of the whole country is the media. And we don't have any help with principles. And so we don't know what to do. So now we have parenting experts. But before we didn't, because we didn't need them. The old way worked. And it is my desire with all the things that I teach to go back to those principles, those communication ways that are deeper, that are more historic. So anyway, it looks progressive. And so I'm saying, oh yeah, go ahead. No, I was saying more. Oh, I'm sorry. It could be. It could be either one. I actually thought I put that in the modern progressive camp. But it could be either one. What's organic for you, right? What's natural for you? Some people just follow the natural, which could put them on either end of the spectrum. Usually the people preaching about the whatever feels natural are in the modern progressive camp, though. Usually, for most of their things. Okay, they're the ones who, like, when their, you know, kids are having a total full-on tantrum, they're like, oh, honey, I know, you just think, you know, I mean, they're just, like, just coddling and stuff. Okay, it looks progressive, and that's an important thing about traditional strict parenting. It actually looks progressive right now. It looks like you're moving ahead right now. Me standing up here for 2 days and talking to people about principles that they should have, about meetings and about skills that they need to learn and all that stuff, that's like moving past where you're at, right? So it looks progressive, but please remember that it's traditional. It goes back to the traditional ways. And it focuses on principles and practice. All of the other methods are only practice. Do this trick, do this thing. But when you're a traditional, strict kind of a parent, then you have principles and practice. You must have both of those things together in order to be able to make a difference in the culture of your home, of your society, and in the hearts of your family members. All right, here's our chart. Let's talk about the chart. What time am I ending this class? Well, I got 20 minutes. Does that sound right? I don't even know. I shouldn't draw your attention to the time. It's a bad speaker thing. Okay. I'm really hating sitting here. Okay. Anyway, so here's our chart, and I've given you a copy of the chart. Modern progressive, bullying, fear-based, traditional, strict, all on the left-hand side of the chart, and then the different topics that we're going to talk about across the top. So let's talk first a little bit about the parenting forms. Actually, we already have a bit. So we've got the modern progressive, and they are to move on or to move past something, to find a new way. There must be some sort of new way to do it because these are new people. It's almost an evolutionist idea, right? That all of a sudden the people, they're newer. They're more advanced. They're more, so we must need to parent them in a new way. What? People, spirits, and bodies, they've been around since the beginning. And they all need the same thing, truth. And it comes from principles and values. It's always been the same thing. Okay, bullying or fear-based is all about power struggles. I'm the boss. It's a war mentality, like survival of the fittest. Right? It is. I don't know if you were. I was raised in a family where I would ask my dad, I would say, why, Dad? Because I really wanted to know why. And he would say, because I'm the boss. That's why. Have you ever heard that one before? Anyway, that's the kind of family that I was raised in. And honestly, I'm glad he didn't raise me, you know, like Dr. Spock. But at the same time, I was like, great, you give me nothing here. Just tyranny. Okay. Whatever, you know, I don't know. I disrespected him because we didn't really know how to communicate. It was either I did it his way, and in my mind, I kept thinking, I'm like smarter than you almost. And as soon as I am smarter than you, it's all over. And then I turned into their worst nightmare. I really did. I was a terrible youth, not teen. I was not a youth yet. I was a teen for some time. And it was an amazing thing that happened to me. My father and I would butt heads all the time. And then I remember one day, and I shared this with the teens the other day, the youth. I'm going to mess up those words all day. They're youth here. Anyway, But I was talking in one of the youth classes yesterday, and I was talking to them about their relationships to their parents, and I shared this story. My father was, I'm the boss. I was really a smart, excelled, accelerated, child that they were like, ah, we got to keep this person in control because she's, whoa, right? And so we fought all the time. He would keep me up lecturing to me until 2 a.m, hoping to sense some sort of change in my heart. And I would just hold it back all night just because I could. Just because I was good at a power struggle and he had taught me how to do it. He was a debate coach. And so let me tell you what, I know how to argue. Anyway, so I was at my neighbor's house one day. She's a young women's leader. And we were all planning a party, me and her daughter, for all the youth in the area. And then after we were done planning the party, I said, well, you guys have a good time. I know I won't be able to go. And she was like, what? This is my young women's leader. How come you won't be able to go? And I said, my dad, he doesn't let me go to anything. I promise you, it's a miracle I'm over at your house right now. She was like, you have to go. I said, no, I promise you I can't. All we do is fight. All of a sudden, I just dumped my guts out to my young women's leader and told her about all the fights and all the struggles and everything that we'd had. And she said to me, Nicolene, have you ever just thought of saying okay? And I said, that would never work. Never. You don't know my dad. Like, it wouldn't make any difference. That's what he wants me to do. And, yeah. I was, 14. Anyway, and so she said, I'll tell you what. She said, do a challenge for me. For the next 2 weeks, she says, we'll postpone the party for 2 weeks for you. For the next 2 weeks, you go home and just say okay. To anything they say, say okay. And see what happens. I bet you he'll let you go. And I said, it's not going to work. But okay, I'll try it. So I went home and immediately started that night. Just like on this, I just wanted to prove that he was a villain. So I was going to do it, okay? So I said, all right. I went home and my mother asked me to do something. I said, okay. And she was like, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And I did it over and over again. I just kept saying, okay. And I saw them exchanging glances. It was like, what's going on here, right? Because, they've never seen that from me ever. I've always been the strong-willed child. Well, in my mind, after a little bit of this and I saw what was happening, I was like, holy cow, this is where the power is. Because, of course, it's all about the power because I was in bullying fear-based, right? But I realized I get to maintain all the power by choosing what I will say. Not just getting sucked into that. This was me learning self-government, guys. It happened when I was 14 years old. This was my first moment of really getting it, that I could choose my own happiness. And a couple days in, I said, hey, can I have friends over for this? And they're like, yeah, sure. And, can I go to this? Oh, yeah, sure. Party came, can I go to that? Oh, yeah, sure. It was amazing. And I will never forget sitting in a sacrament meeting a couple of months later, my father was in the bishopric, and him standing at the pulpit and saying how much he had learned from me about humility and about change and about our relationship and how he had chosen because of my willingness to say okay, to be a different father. Oh, our hearts have been united ever since because I am just like him in so many ways. One person's willingness to change, whether the parent or the child, can change the mode of parenting that you're in. So the other one is traditional strict parenting. And as I mentioned before, it's about following specific values, morals, principles, and possessing a certain organizational structure. So there's a tone and there's a structure. So the mode and the movement. For modern progressive parenting, the mode is to move on, to move past something. And they believe they're having a cultural revolution. They've got to destroy the past. You see that happening all around us nowadays. This effort to destroy past stuff, because it doesn't really matter. Because we're moving ahead. We're making some superhuman race or something. I don't know. But what happens is they become very passive. Because they feel like then in order to move past any kind of aggression, any kind of anything, the whole goal is to just be passive. Let everybody just be how they are. Just be. And you don't have to have any stand or take any position on anything. And they have lost their parenting role. And their parenting power, in fact. Okay, bullying fear-based. It is a move backward. It is a regression. It is animalistic, survival of the fittest, and just very, very aggressive. So yesterday we talked about the passive, the aggressive, the passive-aggressive. Bullying fear-based is also the passive-aggressive type parent. So if you have a tendency to just be like, you know, fine, I'm not talking to you. I'm just going to go hang out in my room for a week. You know, whatever it is, then you actually are trying to bully without having to look like you lost control. That's basically what it is. And so that is a bullying fear-based type of parenting. So traditional strict is a move into the heart, that you change your heart. My father learned that my heart changed. And when my heart changed, he realized his heart needed to change. He was just around somebody who had a change of heart. And it made his heart change. It is relationship based, okay? So modern progressive is a passive, do nothing, kind of laziness based. Bullying fear based is power based. And traditional strict is relationship based. That's why before when we talked about that family culture, that it's not about yourself. In the family, it's never about each individual person per se. It's about the family. It's about that family has a mission. That family has a purpose. There's a reason God put them together. It's about those relationships, those connections that we have. And as I said before, it's organic. It's historical. And it's based on moral order. So morals are the guide for the traditional strict family. Okay, this is a model, the traditional strict construction of a house. On the bottom of the house, we have the bottom line. This is just like a child's drawing of a house. The bottom line is the duty to a higher power. And then we're going to give every single model this same side walls. A committed father and a committed mother. Now, I know that some families, and people ask me this all the time, what do you do if your husband doesn't care? What do you do if your wife, whatever? You know, I know there's single parents. I know there's people who feel like their house is already not quite sitting right. And that's just how it is sometimes. However, you can find other people to help you. And usually everyone knows who those people are who can help support them in creating the right kind of family culture. So for this particular model, we're going to say committed mother, committed father. But if it's only you and father isn't committed or mother isn't committed or involved, make sure you find somebody else to help you support, because everybody does need some support. So we're going to give credit that they're committed. Then the top bar, the bottom part of the triangle on top of the roof, so the ceiling of the house, is good family relationships. That's where you're having family meetings and you're having family activities and you're knowing how to communicate together. And this is where you have a strengthening bond in the family. And if you want to think of the other outside walls as the children, you know, that they're kind of committed to and hopefully holding up their side of the house as well. Then, on one of the roof lines, we have correcting negative behaviors and teaching positive behaviors. The correcting and the teaching cannot happen unless they are based on the good family relationships. That's what gives them the support to be effective at all. Because if they are not effective, then we have the bullying or destructive form, where we're going to pretend they're dedicated to God, maybe, and that there's a committed mother and father, even. But if then you try to do correcting and teaching when there's no basis for family relationship founded, they just come home from school every day and you tell them everything they did wrong and all the stuff that they're supposed to do right, and then you start over again tomorrow, then that's what it oftentimes looks like, that things are falling in, that they're pointing down, and that the roof has fallen in on the house. Because the good family relationships are missing. Okay, modern progressive, which is a very destructive model as well as the other one. They think that they have all those things on the top. But they really only have, and maybe don't even have the whole bottom, to be quite honest. But we're going to give them credit that they've got the foundation and the sidewalls. But it's all the relationship stuff is just assumed. But in the end, they're the ones going, I don't know why my child went astray. Like, I gave him everything that they could be happy. You know, I loved him. I don't know why he won't talk to me. I don't know why. They assumed that the teaching happened because they sent them to people that would teach them, or they gave him all the right books. They told him stuff. They assumed that the correcting, you know, was doing it the best they could, but maybe it didn't always take, but still, like, I still told them, you know, that they should think it out or whatever it is. And so there's like this imaginary protection. They think they've done it, but in the end, the family is not protected because they don't have actual principles backing them up on any of it. Okay, so moving on to the leadership structure. The modern progressive leadership structure is that it is child-led. Have you ever heard anybody say, my three-year-old runs our house, you know, or something? Okay, it's probably because they've got the balance off, right? They don't understand the roles yet, and they're not teaching somebody correct principles yet. They've let something go a little bit progressive for a while. Now, there are some really strong-willed little children who want to take over. I know that, but at the same time, if that's how it always is, the children leading the house, then it's a modern progressive kind of a family. The parent is management. That's really important. The parent facilitates things like entertainment and opportunities, classes, people to get together with and hang out, stuff like that. But it's actually tyranny. It's tyranny on the part, like the child is the tyrant. That's who it is. They just say they want stuff. They whine if they don't get stuff. And the parent is beside themselves trying to make the child happy. We all know people like that. Okay? And then bullying, fear-based leadership structure is there's no leader. They think there's a leader. There's still tyranny. The tyranny can happen even with no leader. It's just part of the culture that it's a power, a struggle to see who's got the most power at any given time. There's an enforcement, though. Parents are enforcers, but they're not necessarily leaders. They use force by compulsion, and everything is like an us against them. Like, they think parenting is like war. It's like going into battle. You have to come out the winner. Have you heard people talk like that before? He's like smiling. I've heard people say that before. You've thought that
I've
before.
Declared.
You've declared war. Okay, because we feel like that, right? It gets to the point where we go, somebody's taking my power away, and I cannot have that happen. And so instead of becoming a leader, we just go to war. That's what we do. So that's the bullying fear-based model. Okay, traditional strict. It is parent-led and modeled. Emphasis on the modeled. So many people came to me yesterday and said, Nicolene, you know, you're talking about all this self-government stuff for kids, but what you're really saying is we have to govern ourselves, huh? I was like, yeah. That's really what it turns out to be like. Because you cannot expect to produce something you don't model yourself. Your children will be as smart as you are. Hopefully smarter, but if so, that's a fluke. Usually they are as smart as you are. If you have a child that's a genius, you should know they learned a lot of that from you. Truly, you modeled something that led them to something you didn't even know you were producing. Okay, it's parent-led and modeled. It is deliberate. If you get to know me for any length of time, you will know that is one of my favorite words. My good friend Rachel DeMille called me one day and we were talking and she said, Nicolene, you are the most deliberate person I know. And I was like, thank you. That has got to be one of the best things that has ever been said to me, that I am deliberate, because that means I plan. That means that I decide this is how I'm going to handle the problem, and then I handle it that way. And I trust that my deliberate, assertive action will make the difference in solving the problem. And it does. Traditional strict parenting is cultural. Meaning, like we talked about before, the family culture, the social culture, backing up the parenting. It is a very unified atmosphere. Not parents against children. It is everybody working together for shared principles and beliefs. And it is freedom. Really, truly freedom. Okay, I'm going to buzz through some of this. Teaching, because, you know, but I did give you the chart so you can look at it if you ever want to. There is no wrong or right way in modern progressive parenting. So I met a lady one time and we were talking about, you know, Halloween costumes, and she's like, I don't know why these people worry so much about dark Halloween costumes. She's like, I just let my kids choose. They know what's too dark. They know when they should stop trick-or-treating. They know this. I'm like, are you serious? You're not going to ever tell them? You're not going to give them any guidelines? Nothing? You're going to let them just be abandoned, sorting their way through? Yes. That's what modern progressive is. Society is the authority. Something is only wrong if it's illegal. Otherwise, it's probably not wrong. The goal is independence, by the way. We want to make them so they totally don't need us or anybody else. And we do that by segregating them all the time with other people, with giving them distractions and facilitating more entertainment, all those things for our children. Bullying, fear-based. There is a definite right and wrong, and the parent has decided what that is. It's not necessarily based on principle. It's based on what bugs the parent. Okay? That's how they decide. It's called positive legalism. Is it legal according to this ruler? And the goal is codependence. No, you need me. I'm going to tell you how it is. That's how it is with the bullying, fear-based. Traditional strict. Is there is a definite right and wrong, and it's determined by principle, by God, by a core book. It is true moralism, dedication to a higher power, and the goal is interdependence, the family united, working together. The foundational principles in effect, entitlement for modern progressive, free of any kind of correction. The result is confusion. No guidelines, disconnection. It's identity-based. They're trying to find out who they are, and they're trying to make an identity for themselves. Bullying, fear-based. The principle is punishment. Really, truly, just anger-based. The result is dishonesty and fear. Every time that you're angry, your children will learn to lie. They are going to try to lie to get out of things. If you have children that have lots of honesty issues and don't tell you, that's because they're not sure what's going to happen if they tell you the truth. No. And it is a very common thing. I've seen children do it to their parents, and I sit there and go, whoa. And then the parents get mad about the lies. Okay, but what about why that's actually happening? You got to back up and restructure. Traditional strict. The parenting is consequent. It is not just punishment. Consequences and punishments are totally different. Punishments are like, listen, I'm bugged, you're going to feel pain. Consequences are like, you know, there was a choice that was made that wasn't the right choice, and we need to learn the right way to do it. So you're going to earn this negative consequence. We're going to talk about the right way to do it. And then there's going to be positive consequences, obviously, when you do it the right way. It's much more natural. It's cause and effect based. If a child can learn cause and effect, they can be free. They can problem solve. Whoa, what did I do? Okay. Anyway, and the result is freedom, safety, love, connection, and order. I just want to go on and share one more with you, and you can read the rest of it on your own. But the focus... The focus of modern progressive parenting is self-discovery, that they're just supposed to figure out who they are and why they're here. I went to a homeschool conference that was definitely dominated by a different religion than I was, and I noticed at this bookstore multiple different kinds of books at the curriculum fair all saying, who are you and why are you here? And da-da-da-da, and they were speaking to people who had been raised modern progressive that were like, the whole goal is to figure that out. And obviously that is one of our purposes in life, to figure out who we are and why we're here. But how sad that a person could spend a whole bunch of time in your home and not get that by the time they're like 4 or 5. That should be the base of everything. It shouldn't be the life's quest. We build our life's quest based on knowing that from the very beginning. So it's self-discovery. For bullying fear-based, it is self-preservation. When I think of bullying fear-based, I think of those survivors among us who have been in horrible, hard circumstances and have somehow risen above it. It can happen. And it can create a strong person. It can. But it can also break a soul, so that they feel inadequate to ever be able to perform their life's mission. What a tragedy that would be. The focus for traditional strict parenting is family unity, support. If you are going to accomplish anything great in this world, if you are going to be a light on a hill, shining for everyone to see and model, you must be supported. Your children deserve that. You need that. We all were born into families for that very thing. The only right that we really ever have, I believe, is love from parents. And that love manifests itself in teaching purpose and providing support, identity, morality, and direction. And it is called being strict. And I am calling for a cultural revolution, a real change, pulling us back to the principles of parenting that were that good societies were founded on for years and years. No more survival. No more trying to figure it out. We need principles. We need structure. We need our hearts to be in the right place. It's going to take time to mold ourselves to do that, but we can, and we can bond together to do it. I promise you, the word strict is not bad. It is good. It means a person who is dedicated to following certain principles. We are those kinds of people. Thank you.
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.